we absolutely appreciate the fact that you are doing it by the book, because this stuff is investment. We want to have this thing done legally and then properly. So at the end of the day, we don't want the government of California to show up and say, hey, we're revoking your permits. Your investment goes poof because you didn't do things properly.
Welcome to the Big Mike Fund Podcast, where you learn about advanced wealth building strategies from real estate investing to creating massive ROI and secured retirement profits. So pour yourself a cup of coffee, grab a notepad, and lean in, because Big Mike has got the mic, starting now.
Welcome to the Big Mike Fund Podcast. I'm the Big Mike, Mike Zlotnik. Today it is my pleasure and privilege to welcome Brian Pensack. Hi, Brian.
How's it going?
It's going well. Brian is a great friend of many years, really, really many years. We've invested many times with Brian, and Brian invested with us, and Brian's family invested with us. So it's kind of been a great financial relationship, but it's also a great friend. We belong to the same mastermind, kind of California Investors private group, and you were in CG for a year. And tell the audience a little bit about you. Where do you live, your family, all that interesting
stuff. Sure. Thanks, Mike. It is a pleasure. It's been great to work with you. I've learned so much and we've done so many different things. I really appreciate all you and Tempo and all the funds and everything else, all the support. So Mike and I met each other back in the day. I'll give you my background in a second, but when a lot of the short sales were happening and the market had crashed, Tempo was a lender and we utilized Tempo through, I met his partner, Joel, out here in California where I live. One thing led to another and we ended up doing a lot of transactions together and forged a really strong relationship. So I live in Petaluma, which is a little bit west of, a little bit north of San Francisco. I lived many years in San Francisco as a chiropractor. It was my profession. I lived in the city from 2086 to like 2007. And then I moved a little further north. My family is all back in the East Coast. They were in Florida, mostly Vermont, Massachusetts. I have some parents and brother and a sister. So I'm the only one out here so far. What else?
No, that's great. And now you're married. You have family through marriage, right?
Yeah, I went from being single with no kids to being married to have four kids and five grandkids, believe it or not. The good part of it is they all live in Mexico, so they're not like running around the house or anything. And the youngest is 22, so they're all pretty much grown, but it's been great so far.
That's great to hear. So now let's kind of move into the topic of this discussion. It's going to be an exciting discussion. We're going to talk about investing in real estate that is used for cannabis cultivation. And we've invested to second deal with you now. We have a first one, a second one. And I call it weed farm number one and a weed farm number two, figuratively speaking. But let's just talk about real basics. Your investments is to acquire land in Northern California in, I think, Lake County, which is fairly friendly. It's perfectly legal, and get the land permitted for cultivation and then sell the land, right? Is that the basic plan?
That is the plan. We're learning, and I'll get more into this, that it's not quite that simple. But yes, that is the plan. And we just started our third and fourth projects. So our first one was a learning experience, but we're still doing quite well with that one. I mean, I'll illuminate you a little bit. Some of it's proprietary, so I'm not going to give you names or people or exact locations, but generally they're all located in the same county that's cannabis friendly. So property number one was formerly a hops farm, and we purchased it with the intention of permitting it for cannabis. And we received what's referred to as early activation of our permits. It's a discretionary permit that the county give in order to allow legal growing of cannabis while you're waiting for what's called the full use permit, which is a 10-year permit. That's the good news. So we received those in April, and we immediately found a buyer / leasee who wanted to purchase and was waiting for the trigger of actually us getting our final use permit, which was a 10-year permit. Things happened with the way that these folks were running the property, and without getting into too many details, because you never know who's going to watch these podcasts or listen to these podcasts, we ended up losing that privilege of early activation. Unfortunately for the folks who are in contract, you know, that we still have a valid contract, but they lost their ability to create income, a lot of ability to create a lot of income. And that's just an unfortunate error on their part. But we're trying to clean up the mess right now. And that's dealing with attorneys and trying to work with the county to make amends and to say that we're sorry, but push this forward. And we seem to be making some good progress. The challenge is that the county, they've lost a lot of their planners and a lot of their staff. The word is they don't really pay a lot. People are overworked. They're pretty disorganized. So it's kind of chaotic. And that can ultimately translate to chaos for those folks who are waiting for permits like us. That said, I like the marketplace. We're talking with an investor right now. He's actually not even an investor, more so as he's been somebody who's been prominent in the county, helping to create some of the bylaws and the regulations on bringing cannabis to the county. He's done a lot of big projects, has a background in Silicon Valley, and really talked about what the cannabis market is now. It's very much like the dot-com boom that we saw about 15 years ago in Silicon Valley. And that is that people are clamoring to get their hands on properties. Cannabis is at an all-time high price-wise. Prices are going up and up. But you know the property that you just funded with us, we ended up getting in a bidding war and ended up paying almost double the asking price. Around this county, I mean, this is kind of like a sleepy county where folks have had land for, you know, 50 years, done nothing with it. And suddenly a lot of this land is worth a lot of money. So really good for the people who've had it for a long time and are now able to cash out. But we're trying to take advantage of this boom while it's here, because the thought is within, we don't really know the exact timeline, but within the next 2 to 3 years, we're going to see a lot of more legal growing going on throughout the state. And there's going to be a lot more cannabis, and hence the prices will go down, and it won't nearly be the business that it is right now, unless you're involved in the supply chain and the processing and the distribution and the manufacturing, that kind of stuff. The actual growing of cannabis will eventually be a lot less attractive than it is right now. So we're trying to get in and take advantage of this market and create some income and make our investors like you really happy. And we can get on a lot of different podcasts, kind of take it from there.
So that's very interesting, Brian. Now let's go to the numbers. Let's go to the wheat farm number one. So what did you, just the kind of financial side of it, as much as you could share.
Yeah, it's difficult because we're going through a negotiation even now, even though we're in contract, but I'll give you like a broad stroke view of how that deal looks or another deal could look. So that particular property, as I said, is over 300 acres. And the way that it is in Lake County is a 20-to-1 ratio of acreage to area of cannabis. So with 302, 305 acres, we basically could permit 15 acres, which is a lot. I mean, if you know what you're doing, you can create a lot of income. And we'll talk about what the numbers look like there for growers. But we paid, you know, about $1.5 million for the property, which is a lot more valuable right now, just by the nature of the competition that I was talking about. But it's been well over a year. We've put, I think we've put probably $400,000 into it, which is, you know, not a lot considering the upside. And we're in contract for a multi-million dollar sale, almost seven figures. I mean, excuse me, that's certainly more than seven figures. You know, we're looking at many millions of dollars. We'll see if it comes to fruition, because a lot of it has to do with a seller finance note. But the way things stand now, it looks pretty good. So the way the numbers typically work right now, you know, again, the price of cannabis is pretty high. So if you grow, all this is outdoor, by the way, that we're doing. So, and it referred to as canopy. So we have 15 acres, theoretically, of canopy that can be grown. Each acre can grow at least 1,000 pounds a year at anywhere from 500 to 1,000 a pound. So using just a real basic number, you should be, if you know what you're doing and you have a good grow team and you have a distribution network and all that, you should be able to make close to $1 million per acre
of revenue
net, because you're really typically looking anywhere from 500 to 500,000 to $1 million an acre.
And what kind of rent can you collect per acre of permitted land?
Yeah. And that, what's the number that's thrown out there is anywhere between 10,000 and 15,000 per acre.
Per month.
Per month.
Right. So it's, if you take 12,000 times 12 months, $144,000 monthly rent for 1 acre. So annual rent for 1 acre, right? 144,000. You got 15 of them.
Right. And of course, if you have 15, there's going to be like a quantity discount. You know, if you have 2 acres, you probably could get 25, 30,000 for the 2 acres. With 15, you're going to get a little bit less. That really wasn't our model. And the only reason we're leasing it is because there are triggers for the purchase once we receive the permit, the final permit and stuff. So understandably, the buyers don't want to buy something until it's permitted for 10 years and to spend that kind of money. So it makes sense. So we, of course, agreed. And it's been fine. But these numbers are staggering. They really are. But I don't think the numbers are going to be here forever. Like somebody listening to this podcast who's saying, oh my God, this is a great opportunity. It is a great opportunity, but it's becoming more difficult. We have the whole county to deal with. There's certainly other places you could do this. And, you know, I hope that not everybody comes to Lake County and starts bidding against us, but, you know, it could happen. We try to come from abundance and not from scarcity. So there's plenty to go around. Problems here, as I mentioned, are really the disorganization in the county government. And that's difficult to, can't wade through that. That's stuff that happens top down, and it's really difficult to have an effect on that. But you certainly don't want to do things that bring attention to your project. You'd rather just kind of flow through under the radar, get your permit, and then get your state licenses. And then if you're going to grow or you're going to have somebody else grow, have them do it legally, because there's a lot of black market grows that go on, probably more than half, because of the taxes and everything else. The taxes are quite high, but that's not our model. We have investors, we have integrity. We don't want to do anything that's going to put us or anybody that we're working with at risk. So that's not something we advocate. And as a matter of fact, we have another property that mostly an investor on, but is in contract. And there's a big compliance issue to it to make sure that the folks who bought this understand that they need to abide by the county, state, all the statutes and all the regulations. And if they don't, then we're going to take that property back because that's going to reflect on us and it's going to have an effect on our permits. So that compliance issue is becoming bigger and bigger now that cannabis is becoming a big business. And, you know, the cigarette companies are starting to move in. And like everybody knew would happen. They see the money and they want a part of it.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. This business is highly profitable. Just the math you mentioned, what the returns are, they're staggering. And being an investor with you, Brian, obviously, only we hope. We absolutely appreciate the fact that you are doing it by the book because this stuff is investment. We want to have this thing done legally and then properly. So at the end of the day, we don't want the government of California to show up and say, hey, we're revoking your permits, your investment goes poof because you didn't do things properly. So, but you can have tenants like you had on that project. We're supposed to do things by the book, but they didn't. And they're causing grief to themselves and they cause grief to you. So it can happen.
The answer to that is more screening and more accountability and compliance teams and different things where people are watching. Because, you know, to be honest, I mean, we don't know what all the things that they're supposed to be doing. I mean, we know some basic stuff, but there are professionals who are compliance oriented and can say, you got to do this. There's track and trace, which is a way that each plant is marked in the system. So you should know, you can't tell this the county or the state, oh, I grew 3 pounds and you really grew 20 because it's all track and trace. So they know everything that's going on. So you don't want to mess around with that. And again, we're not growers, but as you said, we are responsible for people growing on our land. And therein lies the challenge of being a landlord in this particular industry.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, but it sort of separates the mom and pop operators from the professionals who do want to do it properly and by the book. And the state of California, I guess the ones that their fair share of the taxes. I mean, that's the reason they put so much regulation because they want this stuff to be tax system going through it, not in the black market for sure.
Right. So you think about the taxes. The taxes in Lake County are low. For outdoor grow is $1 per square foot. So you're looking at almost 44,000, almost 45,000 an acre in taxes. So do the math.
$45,000 per year on
1 acre.
Well, it generates $1 million in revenue, but the government wants 45,000.
Just saying. So it can add up, especially when someone's just starting out because you have the initial investment of all the things you need to do to cultivate and dirt and
the big boys will come in. Yeah. It is substantial capital to do things properly. And that's why it needs to be done properly and it needs capital and it needs proper compliance.
Exactly. So it's still a great opportunity. It's just there's a lot of details to it.
Yeah, and we're looking at this, and I'm looking at the, and you're looking at this as pure real estate investing. I mean, at least when we invested with you, we're not looking at this as, we don't want to be in the cannabis business, but we want to be in the real estate business.
Right, exactly. And that's exactly how we are too. I mean, in the future, would I want to have a portion of a, maybe a 2 acre or 3 acre farm? Maybe, but only like when I'm just, we've paid all our debt, we have a certain amount of money, and then, okay, we have this grow operation. If suddenly it becomes, I don't know, illegal or in California or Armageddon or something, and we lost everything, I wouldn't want any investors. I wouldn't want anything. I just want to go, well, that was too bad, but it doesn't really change my life at all. That's the only way I'd ever get involved in that side of the business, but that won't be for a while.
Well, at this point, we got to get weed farm number one sold, completely close that, and do well with weed farm number two. That's as far as we are concerned. And hopefully your 3 and 4 do well. We're not participating in those. But
you investors are all the same, just one income in your...
As much as I'm your good friend, but my fiduciary hat that I'm a fund manager, I got to make sure that the money goes back to the fund and I do proper service to the fund.
I don't really sleep well until I know everybody's been taken care of. Because it's great to have all this potential, but while there's still outstanding debt on the properties, there's a lot to be done.
Yeah, that sounds good, Brian. I appreciate your wisdom. Any other parting thoughts? Any other comments?
Yeah, I mean, how much time do we have?
Yeah, well, about 5 minutes.
And then... Okay, perfect. The one thing I didn't mention, and we have a new project that you're not involved in. This is actually a city property. So it has a different jurisdiction, different rules, different regulations. And from what we understand from talking to the city manager, a much quicker pathway to the permits. But this particular property is zoned for not only growing, although it's an indoor grow that it's zoned for, but it's zoned for manufacturing and processing and even a potential dispensary. So what that is really is the vertical integration of the cannabis industry, which is what a lot of these big players are doing. Growing, having a facility to manufacture and process, in other words, get the cannabis from the actual plants, manufacture, turn it into whatever you're going to turn it into, gummies or edibles or what have you, and then ultimately sell it through a dispensary or another mechanism. We're wanting to flip this too, but I think this one will be really high demand because there's a lot of the larger companies who are interested in that vertical integration. So we're pretty excited about that one too.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm happy to ask or answer any questions that people have. We're, you know, I'm not really pitching for investment money or anything like that, but people have money and they want to invest. I'm certainly happy to speak with them.
How would people get a hold of you?
Probably best my email, which is home, H-O-M-E, help, H-E-L-P, F-O-R-U-Y-O-U, @gmail.com.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. So people can email you and ask more questions, more information. So they can get into the weed farm number 5 or 6 or whatever the number is.
Anything's possible.
Sounds good. I appreciate your sharing. We've never done this before. I have to say, honestly, I really would never have done it with anybody other than you because we go a long ways. And I know you've been working on this in this field. It's real estate, but at the same time, this is a lot more than just real estate. This takes a lot of hard work with navigating the city rules and regulations and county. Great job.
Pleasure, as always.
I think we're done, unless you have anything else. Once again, do you want to mention the email if you wanted to reach out to you one more time?
Yeah, just so sure. homehelpforyou@gmail.com. homehelpforyou@gmail.com.
Sounds good. And they can call Brian and say, hey, Brian, I'd like to buy a little bit of that wheat farm that you are working on.
We'll talk.
Brian, thank you kindly. I very much appreciate your wisdom and sharing. This was interesting. This was different.
Yeah. Yep. And not your average fix and flip.
Not the average fix and flip. Exactly. Thank you, Brian.
All right, Mike. Take care, buddy.
Thank you for listening to the Big Mike Fun Podcast. To receive your copy of Mike's How to Choose a Smart Real Estate Fund book, head to BigMikeFund.com or visit Amazon and type Mike Zlotnick. Keep listening and keep investing Big Mike style. See you on the next episode.